Life's Learning Curve, episode 32.
Hello, everybody. Podcasting right here from Studio 502 here in the mid-Midwest, home of the world's biggest ball of yarn and other oddities. This is Life's Learning Curve, a podcast that helps us find the best us, the best we can be using storytelling. And I'm your host, Paul Hart, former educator and current tech media producer. We're in season two. This is episode 32.
They picked me out of the crowd.
A lot of people could learn lessons from our parents' generation.
You know, fill your rooms up with people that love you, folks.
So after all, it wasn't so bad getting hit in the head with a baseball bat.
Daddy was going running like a wild dog.
From childhood, all your stories, you remember telling them at a shorter height.
We would actually run like crazy through the fields.
Filleted my shin open down to the muscle.
Learning was a fun thing for me.
Now that's value. Streaming where podcasts are heard everywhere. Visit the new website to find us, lifeslearningcurve.org.
Compromised.
On today's story, we have a true story. It's a far-reaching story, but it really happened. When you are compromised, the word compromised, it's probably not going to go well for you. Your operation, your scam, or your agent is uncovered and it cannot remain a secret anymore. I accidentally compromised someone once, back when I was starting my business, my video business. Starting a business can be intimidating at times. You might have knowledge about business from school books or practical advice from sources online or elsewhere, people maybe. But there is a big difference between understanding business fundamentals on paper and the wisdom you get through actual experience. Now, all this happened around the year 1990 when I was asked to do some video production work for a retired millionaire. Sounds intriguing. So with that in mind, you've got the premise. Let's get this started.
Life's Learning Curve. I'm Paul Hart. Episode Compromised. Stand by.
A helicopter. Pretty cool device, huh? Really, if you think about it. It's diverse. It's different than an airplane. When I think of a helicopter, one story or the story that immediately comes to mind was early in my video career. I'd subtract about, I'd say, 30 years. Like I said, around 1990, I was up for any crazy thing at that time in my life, just to get a good shot, a good piece of video shot for the customer, or for my demo reel and my portfolio. It would help both of us.
I'll do it.
So back in 1990, I had been fortunate. I had
blessed.
Had launched a solid video client list, and I actually had more work than I could handle. I didn't learn at that point in my life how to say no yet to a client, so I just kept accepting everything. Got me a lot of connections, but kept me very busy. Being young, I accepted, like I said, everything offered to me just to get the experience and expand my customer base and challenge myself to do better. I wanted the shots I took to be cinematic. I wanted them to be balanced well and lit well, something that would make a lot of people happy, including me. I still had an awful lot to learn about video creation. I'll tell you what, I still do to this day, because we never stop learning.
Learning curve of life.
So if you accept learning as an exciting way to spend every day of your life, you might just find yourself loving your job and loving your life. I had been spending time with other like-minded, like-kind, career-driven videographers from whom I could learn. We all kind of bounced ideas off each other. I've told you about Sam before in this podcast. He was a part of this group. There are so many, many, many great mentors out there in life. Sometimes you never see them, but you have to make sure that you keep your eyes open or you might just miss one of these people. In this case, is my good friend and mentor, Peter, from United Artists Video Makers. He was on the phone.
Hey, Paul,
Peter?
There's a guy calling us here.
Yeah?
And he's interested in shooting a commercial.
Oh, okay.
I'd do it, but I really don't like what he's doing.
Yeah?
Is it okay if I gave him your information, your number?
Sure, Peter. That sounds fine, but what's the issue with the commercial that you have? Now, I knew Peter had a family and that he lived nearby, and he generally did not like to take jobs that were a great distance from his home. At that time, I was married, but I had no children yet, so I didn't mind driving too far to shoot commercials. But in this case, that wasn't it. Pete told me.
Well, Pauler, what's unsettling is not the distance driving, it's the one town away. It's not too bad. He wants the camera operator to sit on the edge of the skid of a helicopter.
Whoa, that's crazy.
And shoot a long-distance establishing shot. I just don't want to do that.
Yeah, I can do that.
Well, I thanked Peter for the referral. I really did. I thought about it and thought, well, yeah, I'm up for that challenge. It's got to be safe.
I can do that, I think.
Peter told me.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, Pauler, he's an older guy, and he came from the days of film before video. However, today he shoots his commercials on video rather than film, so he knows the difference. Apparently, he used to do voiceover work on commercials. His name is, let me check here, Hal Shokum, I think, something like that. Anyway, he'll be calling you, and you'll know it's him when he calls. Believe me, he's got that voice.
That's great, I thought. A guy from years ago, this could be another mentor, could be another person to offer advice, you know, if we got to be friends or something.
Mentor.
It was around 5 p.m. when my phone rang, and that was the first time I heard the voice for the first time. A rich, slow-paced baritone timbre rumbled out of my phone's handpiece. It was Hal. He said,
"Is this the person to whom I am speaking?"
Now, this would be the first in a long line of communications where I would hear Hal and his absolute slowest, the vocal delivery imaginable.
"Hi. Yes, it is. This is Paul."
"Paul, my name is Hal Showground. I don't carry my resume anymore. Don't need to.
Nope.
People in the business just know me. I spoke to this Peter from UA Video Makers, and he referred me to you. He says that you're a good videographer."
"Yes, hi Hal. I heard you might be calling me. Now, is your last name, is it Showgram?"
"Showgram."
"Showgram?"
"Showgrab."
"Showcrab?"
"Paul, I don't have time for this. Let me ask you something."
There was the first of many lengthy pauses from Hal. I later learned that these pauses Hal used were intentional. It was a sales technique to leave people in anticipation mid-sentence. After the pause on the phone, I said, "Hello? Hal?"
"Did he hang up?"
"Call me Mr. Showground."
"What?
Showgram?"
"No, Showgram. C. H. O. G. R. A. B. Let me ask you something. Here it comes, Paul."
The pause again. For the sake of time and patience in this podcast, I will speed up Hal's speech cadence from now on so this does not run like into the wee hours of the night. I said to Hal,
"What do you have for me, Mr. Showgrab?"
"Showgraph."
Okay. I had no idea what his last name was still, even after he spelled it.
That's when I noticed that Hal began every sentence using my name. It's a sales trick used to manipulate and show dominance.
Paul, I'll bet you will never guess from where I am calling you.
I have no idea.
Paul, I'm calling you from my car phone. Yes, I'm calling you from my car.
How about that?
Now, in 1990, there were no car phones or cell phones in circulation yet, so calling from a car was a unique thing back then. But there I was in 1990. Somehow, because of all this, I felt unimpressed. It seemed to be a way of Hal implying,
I am in charge, you aren't.
Or,
I am privileged and beyond you.
Or,
I have ancillary money I can use for things I don't actually need, like a car phone.
I ignored Hal's comment. Hal continued.
Paul, every year I produce a new commercial for the restaurant in Crystal Lake. Called Red Rose Restaurant.
Fine dining, cultured cuisine, amazing presentation. Hi, I'm Hal Shograff. My lovely and beautiful wife and I are out for a night on the town. We indulge Red Rose Restaurant right here in Crystal Lake. I'll see you at the Red Rose on Route 12. Cha-cha-cha.
I'm sure you've been there.
No, I really haven't. But I've passed it, but I've never eaten there.
Paul.
Yeah?
The food at the Red Rose is to be prepared with care and feeling, like a beautiful symphony of culinary flavors.
Yeah, okay.
Now, I knew of this restaurant. It catered to older clientele. I recall seeing the parking lot full of large, expensive cars, women in furs, and men in nicely tailored suits. Then Hal said to me,
"The wind-up.
Oh, how would you like to shoot from a helicopter?"
And a bitch.
Wow, a helicopter. That sounds just like a challenge I'd like, Mr. Shograb.
Oh, for goodness sakes, Paul, just call me Hal.
Now, I found something out later, and that was that if Hal shot 4 to 5 commercials for the Red Rose Restaurant per year, he would be comped, and he could take his beautiful and lovely wife, as he called her, Agnes Jean, and get one meal free each week. It was a nice setup. I wasn't to know about that. I found out later. It sounded nice for Hal and Agnes Jean. Now, as long as he paid me, I was up for the shoot, and I told him so. However, there was a pause. Always a pause.
Wait a minute, Paul. You need to tell me your qualifications in order to get this tremendous job opportunity.
Uh-huh.
If you can't bring me your credentials in 1 hour,
what?
Then you are not the person I want working for me.
Hal hung up the phone, dial tone. Now, dumbfounded but challenged, and a whole lot of ignorant of Hal's power play, I jumped into my car. Why not? It was a challenge. I do like challenges, and I could just see that helicopter video shot in my demo reel. Yeah, I wanted to go for it and do it. Within 20 minutes, I motored up to a large and ornate home, Hal's home, on Wine and Roses Lane. The perfect name for Hal. There was a note on the mailbox. It read,
Paul, knock on door.
Duh. I did. Hal casually answered the door, and before me stood a man in his probably early 70s or so, with short-cropped, receding gray hair, black, bushy eyebrows, as I remember, and he wore an impatient stare on his face. Behind Hal stood a well-coiffed, well-dressed older woman, probably Agnes Jean, his wife, I assumed. I said,
"Hi, Mr. Shograb, I'm Paul. We spoke on the phone."
Hal looked irritated and said to me,
"You are pretty rough around the edges, Paul. Didn't your parents teach you not to speak unless you are spoken to first?"
Trying to be polite and positive, I ignored Hal's attitude and comment, and I tried to stay positive. I handed over my resume and my VHS demo reel, which, remember, it's 1990, it's going to be a VHS demo reel. And he promptly shuffled them and threw them away in a nearby trash can.
What?
Now, back then, that was like losing one-tenth of my demo reel budget.
Yeah.
Hal told me that he wanted reference phone numbers, and he wanted film, not videotape. He wanted 16mm film of my resume to watch at his leisure. I told him that commercials were made on videotape in 1990, and I promised that it would look great and keep the cost down for him. And by the way, I had phone references on my resume, which laid deep in Hal's nearby trash can. Hal said,
"Who are you to tell me what I want?"
And the door slammed shut. I was outside, they were inside, and my resume and my demo reel were in Hal Shograb's trash can. I was beginning to wonder about his sanity at that point. On the drive home, I was confused, so I stopped by to see Peter. Remember Peter? He was my mentor, one of my good friends, who had referred me to Hal Shograb. After explaining my experience with Hal, Peter apologized immediately. He didn't have to, but he had not known that Hal's behaviors were so severe. Peter told me that a friend of ours named Tim, also one of our video pals, Tim had shot Hal's commercial last year, and he said, let's call Tim. So we called Tim, and I found myself explaining my entire Hal Shograb experience from that day. Tim said,
"Oh man, Paul, I feel so sorry for you. Look, he never paid me, I'll tell you straight off the bat, and did nothing but tell me how critically bad my business sense was, my behaviors were."
Yeah.
"Oh, Paul, I feel bad for you. Hey, did he promise you a helicopter shot?"
Yeah.
"Did he talk really slowly as he insulted you?"
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a big component of the whole process for me. "Paul, it'll never happen. No helicopter shot, nothing. Look, I spent days of work on his commercial.
Yeah.
It was a nightmare. I did 5 re-edits, which created 5 separate commercials for Hal. The entire time, I wondered if he was like not sane or I was nutty. I didn't know. I finally gave Hal the final commercial because he began having an attorney contact me, threatening a long, drawn-out legal fight. We had a contract, but he kept telling me he just couldn't find his copy."
You kidding me, Tim?
"I just took the loss, and finally, I even had to change my phone number. He is sharp as a tack.
Wow.
He is not loony, and he is also a huge hassle. If you want my advice, I'd tell you to run away.
A con.
In my opinion, Hal's scam of a commercial needs to be compromised."
Now later, Peter told me that Tim had told him earlier that Hal was a millionaire several times over, but he kind of missed making people jump for him when he was a powerhouse in advertising, and apparently he was many, many, many years ago. These days, apparently, Hal was the mouthpiece for what was going on with this commercial. But Tim kind of felt that Hal's wife, Agnes Jean, was the superordinate. of this whole commercial setup scam.
Didn't need the money.
Tim had told Peter that Hal delivered 5 yearly commercials so he and his wife could get a year's worth of free meals from that restaurant. Huh. As I left Peter's business, I knew that I had to disconnect from Hal and Agnes Jean. At that point, I really felt used. I'm sure Tim had felt more used. It was wasted time, but I guess it was a lesson learned. There's a lot of non-payers out there. There's con artists who get you to do work and they don't even show up. There's shady clients out there. Peter offered me his help and guidance, but I assured him I would not reconnect with Hal. I was disappointed. I was. But it was not over. The next step with Hal would be even worse. Gaslighting. A day later, my phone rings and I receive a call from Hal's beautiful wife, as he called her, Agnes Jean. Agnes said,
"You talked to my husband yesterday and he's very, very upset."
"Look, Mrs. Showgrab."
"Showgrab."
"Whatever. I just want to be the one to tell your husband in person, but I will not be doing business with you or Hal."
"He said you were very rude to him and that you needed to be taught a lesson."
"A lesson?"
"I'll tell you what. Find someone else, Mrs. Showgrab. We have no contract. There will be no business between us."
Did she hang up?
It was great because I kind of felt the pressure of that conflict begin to just evaporate. I did not have to call Hal. Agnes would tell him. However, an hour later, my phone rang again. A very agitated Hal
"Hello?"
screamed my name into the phone.
"Paul, my beautiful wife, Agnes Jean, told me you called here today and called her a liar and a thief, and that is slander. By the way, I'm calling you from my mobile phone in my car."
"That just didn't happen, Mr. Showgrab. She called me. I turned down your business offer."
"Paul, why would she call you?"
"She said you're upset that you felt I needed to be taught a lesson."
"Are you calling my beautiful wife, Agnes Jean, a liar?"
"I told you exactly what happened."
"Paul, I checked your references today, and I do not know who this Karn or whatever fellow is, but I've never heard of him."
Ken Carnes was a Green Bay broadcasting legend whom I worked with for 4 years at that point in my career, shooting commercials, sporting events. Ken was well known for his newscast and humorous banter. If you're from the Green Bay area and you didn't know Ken Carnes, then you didn't read a newspaper, you didn't watch TV. And this was pre-internet, back when everybody watched a lot of TV and nothing else. I suggested to Hal, "Hal, check out the Broadcasting Hall of Fame for Ken Carnes."
"I know his type. He's a nobody, just like you."
Refusing to take Hal's bait, I said,
"Hal, best of luck to you. We have no contract. There will be no business."
But then Hal quickly pleaded. Yeah, I did say the word quickly.
"Paul, it should be you trying to win me over, not the other way around."
"Good luck, Hal," I said.
"You're calling my beautiful wife, Agnes Jean, a liar."
That time, I ended the call. Not really proud of it, but I did. Without having to go into detail, I had no contact with Hal after that. However, he had plenty of contact with me. He phoned me 3 times each a day, leaving messages.
Affirmative.
And his messages were always the same.
Please hold for a very important message.
Paul, why did you just call me? You're harassing me.
I hadn't. I was trying to get away. He said,
stop calling me. Stop calling my beautiful wife, Agnes Jean.
Compromised.
I hadn't called him. Hal had been compromised. Agnes Jean had been compromised.
Compromised.
He was trying to gaslight me. It was pure and simple. I had no contact with Hal after that. Until one day, Hal's attorney called me, telling me that I needed to deliver on the contracted commercial work with Hal for the Red Rose Restaurant project. When I told the counselor that I had never had signed or created a contract, and that Hal had just not even gone beyond the checking my references stage, the attorney slowly sighed and sort of hinted that Hal may have had a lot of other bad debt. Perhaps, maybe even with the attorney. I don't know. Non-payment. The attorney told me just to go back to my normal life and resume normal activities. Hal would most likely never call me again. He didn't. The reason? Hal had been compromised. I do not know whatever happened to cease the harassment. But as a footnote, later that year, I saw a commercial on our local cable system for the Red Rose Restaurant. The narrator was none other than good old Slow Cadence Hal. The commercial was okay, but I noted there was no helicopter shot anywhere. I felt badly for the person that was hired to shoot this commercial. A him or a her, and edit it and produce it and spend hours editing for Hal. I felt bad for that person. Abuse, and I'm sure non-payment. So I knew that Hal hadn't been fully compromised. He found somebody else.
Oh yeah, I did it again.
Hal, show grab, audio voiceover, take 29. Action.
Exquisite, a mouth-watering culinary treat. Barker's Walnuts. Whether it's delectable walnut cookies or just grabbing a handful, you've got walnuts. Barker's Walnuts.
So as I said before, you might have knowledge about business from school, books or practical advice from sources online or other mentors or something, but there's a big difference between understanding business and the fundamentals of it all on paper and actually gaining wisdom through actual experience, hands-on.
Hands-on learning.
So learning the Hal Showgrab life lesson early in my career prevented me from wasting time with the wrong people and giving me more time to work with the best people out there. I was lucky to have resources and mentors helping me along the way. And in the Hal Showgrab situation, many thanks still to Peter and Tim. They say that communication can prevent or fix almost any problem. Well, that would be good communication. But in Hal's case, he continually tried his best to mux it all up and bully and con and defame me and make me feel bad. I believe he was trying to keep costs low. Maybe I don't really believe that.
No.
But maybe it helped him feel superior in front of me. Maybe in front of everybody. I don't know. Personally, I think he missed those glory years in his ad agency when he was the big cheese. He was hiring. He was firing. He was making all the final decisions. You go there. You go there. You go there. Well, maybe I should say,
you go there. you go there.
So what's the takeaway from all this, the whole hell process that I'm telling you about today? If you are able to, in life, keep learning, and keep learning regardless of what age you are. You're never too old. Every day you can learn something new. I don't mean you'd have to read a book, but you're going to find something out, you're going to research something, or you'll just learn something. And if you come across the hell shell grabs in life, learn that what you have to do with them is try your best to keep them compromised and get away from them. If you do that, you can most certainly have fun with your life and enjoy the ride. It's pretty fun. For Life's Learning Curve, I'm Paul Hart.
Subscribe to Life's Learning Curve at lifeslearningcurve.org and leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or Podchaser. Life's Learning Curve is produced by Paul Hart, Technical Director Heidi Cerner, Supervising Producer Sebastian T-Dog, Tim DiDonna, and Hunter Metschke, Editor Paul Richards, Audio Mixer Riley Hart. On this episode, special thanks to Peter Lilly and Jeff Forrester. Find our website at lifeslearningcurve.org. We're waiting for you. Subscribe. Help us grow and continue by liking us on Facebook and listen to us wherever you're listening right now and practically everywhere else podcasts are found. We're on Amazon now too, Amazon Music, episode 32, Compromised. From all the late night crew, I'm Paul Hart and we'll be back soon with more from Life's Learning Curve.
We're clear.